your Sega fix. All you've gotta know is this. There's a podcast that exists for the Sega nerds. Come and get your Sega news and your classic game reviews. And there's fun and features too from the Sega nerds. They've got Chris and they've got Graham. And there's Nathan now and then. It's like hanging with your friends with the Sega nerds. They're not fanboys, but they're nerds. You should listen to their words. Just download it and it's yours. Here's the Sega.
Hello and welcome to the Nerdcast. I'm Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me today are Nathan Barehand Swee and Graham, I wipe my ass standing up, Cookson. How you doing, fellas? It's true.
We are not using that.
So, okay, we're not using this. Okay. What do you guys think about this week's theme song? We got a new theme song going on.
Glenn Case, the amazingly awesome Glenn Case. Oh my god!
Stop that.
Okay. We got to settle down here. We're recording, and we're sticking with this.
No, we're not.
Okay. I want to say.
No, I'm not going to say. You're such a gay.
If this is the first time you've tuned in to the Nerdcast, this isn't how we normally do it. We're a little rowdy today. I think that we can attribute that directly to the main man, Glenn Case, writing us and composing and doing everything, our new theme song for the Sega Nerdcast. And you're going to hear that at the start of every Nerdcast from now on. I think it's really awesome. And not many people can say they have their own theme song. What do you guys think about it?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. We've got a theme song and all our names are in it.
That's right. What do you think, Graham? You're not mad at us, are you?
Yes.
Graham's not talking. It's okay.
I don't
want
to use this.
You'll feel better.
No, no, we stop this.
No, we have to use this now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Graham, this is what we call internet gold, buddy. We're sticking with it.
Fine.
In case you guys didn't know, Glenn Case, he's the one who's responsible for all the music throughout the Captain S show. And as you know, if you've listened to the Nerdcast before, we've had Brett and Devin from the Captain S show on numerous times. And I've really just grew such a fondness of the music throughout the series that I found out who was responsible for it. And I started talking to Glenn, and he came up with the song, and I thought it was really awesome, and I really appreciate him. So if you liked our song and liked what he did during the Captain S series, you can go to his website. It's www.glennkase.com. It's GlennKase.com. So check it out. He has some really great stuff going on there, and thanks again, Glenn. I got to say that I'm a little bit upset myself this week because I'm getting kicked out of my game room. I have to move all my video game equipment and everything out. I have to move it out of my game room. The wife, as some people may know, she's pregnant with our third child. And we have a three-bedroom house, and the third bedroom is the kind of toy room slash game room. It's kind of where I kept all my video game stuff, and I was able just to throw it all in one room. And now she's nesting, so she wants everything gone. And I have no idea where I'm going to put it. And it's just all on a big stack on the floor. And after I pulled everything out and have all my systems and video games sitting there, I really am surprised how much video games I really have. So we're going to have to see what I'm going to do here. I'm really upset. Don't know where I'm going to put my video games. And she doesn't want them around anywhere. So we're going to see about that. Yeah, maybe I'll just give them all away. Fuck you guys. So that's what we got going on this weekend. I want to say that I'm sorry that we haven't been around for the past couple of weeks. We just been busy. What can you say? We're busy guys leading busy lives. So that's how it goes. So, Nathan, how about you give us a good transition to the newsstand?
Okay. Let's see. Sega held their Gamers Day event. I don't know. How long ago was that now? A couple of weeks?
It was I think it was last week sometime. All right.
Well, they held some Gamers Day event where it was basically they invited a bunch of press people over and showed off a lot of new stuff that they've got in development. They announced some things we didn't know about that are going to be coming soon, I guess.
They talked about a lot of stuff we didn't know about.
Yeah. Okay, one of the first... they announced several games. One of the first ones they announced was Ghost Squad for the Nintendo Wii. Ghost Squad is an arcade shooter game from AM2, the same developers that made Virtua Cop.
Right.
And it was released in arcades in 2004, I think.
And you're familiar with the game, aren't you? Or is that Graham who's played it before?
No, Graham's played it. I haven't actually played it
before. Okay. Hey, Graham, can you tell us a little bit about the game?
How does it compare to other light gun shooters then? You played Virtua Cop and Time Crisis and all that, House of the Dead, right?
I guess it's similar to Virtua Cop in a way. Like, you know how you get, like, you shoot the bad guys and they die instantly no matter where you hit them? Unlike House of the Dead, right, where you have to shoot them in the head.
It's similar to Confidential Mission too for the Dreamcast?
Yeah, it's probably a bit more like that, because you've got these sort of little side sort of mission things you do. Like in Confidential Mission, like, you get trapped in a room, you have to, like, shoot them.
The gas vents?
Yeah, you have to shoot the gas and stuff to see if they're coming out. You got sort of little things like that, but you, like, rescue hostages and things like that instead.
Okay. What do you think about it? Do you think
I was about to say, you have these, like, close combat situations where you have to, like, disarm a guy with a knife and things like that.
Do you think it'll transition to the Wii very well?
I think it'd be great on the Wii, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the game's got loads of different routes in it, which is one really good thing about it. So, like, depending on how well you do, you open up different routes and stuff.
Okay.
And from what I hear, the Wii's got loads of extra things, like extra weapons and stuff.
Yeah, okay. It's pretty exciting. So, yeah, they've announced that the Wii version is going to have several modes. The full arcade game will be included. They're adding some multiplayer aspects, like stuff for up to 4 players, which the arcade version did not have. So.
Arcade version had 2 players only.
So yeah, that should be pretty exciting. All right, another game they announced is Happy Tree Friends False Alarm for Xbox Live Arcade and PC. It's going to be a downloadable title, I guess. Happy Tree Friends, for those that don't know, is some sort of online cartoon, I guess.
I've never heard of it ever before.
I'd heard of it before, but I've never really watched it. My cousin showed it to me one time. It's basically a really cutesy, cartoony style, like, cartoon with really cute animals or whatever, and then really violent things happen to them. It's pretty graphic. Apparently, a show of it debuted on G4 TV and MTV or something like that, and the show has sold more than 1 million copies on DVD, so I don't know, I guess it's pretty popular.
Yeah.
I don't think we know too much about the game, though, yet, like, what you do in it or whatever.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe it's going to be similar to, Fur something from the Dreamcast?
Fur
Fighters, yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like that.
Or it could be a bit like Raiders Hell on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Which is like you're a demon or something, but you're in a cutesy world and stuff. You've got all these cute animals who are trying to kill you and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we know anything about it. But since it's going to be a downloadable title, I don't know. It's probably going to be more arcade style, I guess. Like, since it's going to be on Xbox Live Arcade. Not sure. Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. Yeah. Well, the thing I think is interesting about it, though, it shows that Sega is supporting the Xbox Live Arcade. So
with original content,
they said they were
going to
do it. Do what?
With original content, too, not just classic.
True.
Games.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, you know, we had some other information about Sega and Xbox Live Arcade, but I think that that is the interesting, you know, piece there, that Sega... you know, and I want to say, are they like one of the first big developers to actually put an original game on the Xbox Live Arcade? I mean, who else has been doing that? Off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
Original? I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there probably is something.
Yeah, so that might be something to note, so.
Who made that rocket game, whatever it's called? I don't think it's got rockets in it, but it's called something.
Boom, boom,
Geometry Wars?
No, Boom Boom Rocket. Wasn't that made by someone big?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it besides the title.
Okay, I don't know anything about it either.
Okay, we're obviously not that big Xbox Live Arcade gamers, so we'll have to see. I'm sure someone will tell us all about it later on.
Hopefully.
There goes Bare Hands again.
Well, screw you. Oh, Boom Boom Rocket was developed by Bizarre Creations.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
They're the same guys that did... Geometry Wars, right? No, wait, am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't know. My excited game, though, from this whole thing was Condemned 2 Bloodshot. So I knew that Sega was going to be announcing it pretty soon, or I was hoping they would, rather. But I think the thing that did surprise me is that they're going to develop it not only for the Xbox 360, but for the PlayStation 3 as well. So what do you guys think about that? They say it's going to include multiplayer this time, and it's going to have all new offensive and defensive move for Ethan. He's also going to have some new forensic tools. So what do you guys think about this game?
Well, I think the online play will be pretty exciting, but actually I shouldn't comment too much since I never actually played Condemned.
What? Oh my goodness. This is a game that I've been trying to get Graham to play forever.
I heard it was a really good game, so...
It's a great game. It's by far my favorite Xbox 360 game
it's
yet.
It's one of the scariest games I've ever played.
Isn't it? Oh my gosh.
I can't play it.
It is a really scary game, and it's just so
there's only one other
awesome game
I've been so scared of in my life.
What is that?
That was Enemy Zero on the Saturn.
Oh.
Because the enemies are invisible in that, and you've only got a really shit weapon which only fires like 3 feet. And it's just, you've got to judge when they're coming at you. So that's
how can
scary.
You tell that they're coming at you if they're invisible?
You've got this like radar that goes boop, 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 and then you hear these grounding sounds going. Argh.
Oh, that is kind of. I'm getting scared right now.
There's this bit when you go into a cargo bay and it's all pitch. It's pretty much pitch black, and you've got to run through, and all you hear is like grounding and beeping and stuff. You're like, oh my god, yeah.
That's funny. But no, seriously, on Condemned though, it's such a great game just for the fact that it is one of the scariest games I've ever played, and the way that they've been able to implement the suspense in the game and everything goes along with it. It had really great graphics. The gameplay was really tight. I just thought the controls were good. Everything, I think, it just had the entire package, and it was a great game. So
yeah, everything about it was really good.
Yeah, and if they can continue to do that with Bloodshot, I'll be really excited. So
I can't see how the multiplayer is going to be that good, though, personally.
I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll have to see about that. Yeah. But the one thing I am excited about that, did you guys know about the movie that they had planned for the original Condemned?
They were making
a movie in the works.
I heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, they were making a movie, and it was supposed to be about... it wasn't going to involve Ethan Thomas at all, I don't believe. It was going to be about this other guy, and he basically finds out one day that... aliens invade the Earth, right? And so there's like this massive war going on or something like that. And he finds out that he's like half alien or something like that. And he has to decide on which side he wants to choose to be on, the aliens or humans.
What?
So,
wait,
you know, that
are there
huge
aliens
inner struggle.
Condemned?
No, it's not. That's what's totally weird about it.
What?
It had nothing to do with the actual game, it seemed. So
what?
That's what kind of struck me.
Are you sure it had anything to do with the game, or was it just some movie project called The Condemned?
No. This is I'm almost 100% sure that that this was about the game. So
yeah, I remember reading about it and did mention Sega in it and stuff.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know, but.
Okay, alright, that was about it for the Sega Gamers Day, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of other games that they also talked about. I mean, they talked about The Club, and there was a few other games that we did know about, and that they did either show screenshots for and gave a little bit more information, but those are kind of the three or four games I wanted to talk about here. But if you check out the site, you will see a lot more information about the other games, though.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Check it out.
Alright, let's see, more recently, okay, a website called Sega Online, posted some images of what, they claimed were screenshots from Sega Vintage Collection for the Xbox Live Arcade. They showed, Sonic the Hedgehog being run in, like, a frame, I guess, it's like,
it looked like it was like a menu screen for a possible Sega Classic
game, in high def
exactly.
And all that. So, Kotaku picked up on it and they contacted Sega about it and asked them about it, and Sega gave a really non-committal, vague, ambiguous response, saying that the screenshots did not come from them. However, not too long ago, the ESRB updated their site with rating information for Echo the Dolphin and Sonic the Hedgehog on the 360. So, apparently, they are coming, despite the fact that Sega kind of tried to deny those screenshots. So we don't know if the whole Sega Vintage Collection label is actually going to be used or not, but regardless, it seems that we will be getting classic Genesis titles on the 360 sometime soon.
The weird thing about the images was, there was a weird thing on the images which made it look a bit fake, because at the bottom it had a tagline saying, Sega, all the right moves.
Or all the right moves.
Yeah, I don't really know what...
Because that's why Kotaku originally contacted Sega, because they said, what the hell is this? Why is it
sounded
like the right moves?
Like a bad translation or something, but the website was a foreign site. I'm not sure what country they are.
It was the Dutch.
The screenshots were, like... That was actually on the screenshot, so that would be on the screen.
In, like, badly translated English or something. So, yeah, I don't know. The screenshots still might have been fake, but who knows.
What I find funny, though, is it does appear that at least there's some, shred of truth to all this. But I know Graham was caught a little bit of flack from some of the guys in the forums because he thought that they were fake to begin with. And some of the other posters from Europe said that Sega Online, which is a Dutch Sega site, is pretty reputable. And so they said that if they were reporting it, it's most likely the truth. And Graham was just being a little cautious, and as well as he should be. I don't think we should go off on every single little limb and believe everyone. So I think that that was the right thing to do. But it does look like it appears to be that there is some truth to this. So you'll be able to spend even more money on a Sonic the Hedgehog game that you probably own 5 or 6 copies of already. So. Hooray.
Yeah. Okay. In other news, didn't we talk about this already? The Captain S season finale?
No. I think it's just because of the fact that we had him on, like, last time or the time before.
Okay.
But yeah, the season wrapped up this past week with the very last episode. Captain S, he was able to save Video Land and the real world as well. The thing is that it's such a great series, and me and Graham both are really big fans of it.
Oh, yeah.
But they really don't know what they're going to do next. They don't know if they're going to have a second season. I know that, talking to Brett, he wants to do it again, but they just they're just not entirely sure what they're going to do from here on out. So hopefully we'll be able to see some more from these guys, because I really think they have an awesome thing going with the Captain S show. It would be really great if I talked to him, and one thing I thought would be really awesome is if G4 TV were to pick up, because there's a lot of these little internet video series that are out there, and there's some pretty good ones too. And I thought it would be great if G4 TV were to have like an hour long show, once a week, and they'd air these weekly episodes of maybe like 4 or 5 different, TV shows, like the small ones, maybe like 15-minute clips of each one, and they could just be a weekly series, and Captain S could be one of those. And I think that if they were to package it correctly, they could have a really interesting show, and, it'd be about video games, which there's quite a lot of non-video game TV shows on there now. So I think I've watched about 45 episodes of Cheaters on G4 TV in the past week or two. So,
I don't watch G4 TV.
Yeah, that's all that's pretty much on there now.
Okay,
but I do love Cheaters. So,
what
I can't
the hell is Cheaters?
It's basically like it's all filmed in Dallas Fort Worth area, and it's just basically people catching each other cheating on each other, like couples and stuff. It's really funny.
Wait, what does this got to do with video games?
Has nothing to do with video games. That's what's so ironic about it.
That sucks.
Yeah, well, G4 TV, they're trying to transition it to be more of like a generic, like, male, video or TV show or TV channel now, kind of like Spike. I think they're heading in that direction.
That's retarded.
That sounds really
they've been airing, like, old Star Trek episodes for a while and just stuff like that, so.
Boring.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep, that's what we got.
Great.
The last bit of news, I'll talk about this real quick, if you don't mind, Nathan.
Go ahead.
If you remember back a couple months ago, we picked up on what seemed to be a viral video that was thrown up on YouTube, and it showed a Sega developer being kidnapped and held by a couple of geisha girls. And there was some clues and stuff, and Graham was able to piece them together, and he was able to track it back to an English marketing firm called Small Japanese Soldier, and he was able to find out that they actually worked on Fur Fighters, and so he was able to kind of interconnect them with Sega. And in the video, it said that, or it alluded that we'd find something out in April, and obviously we haven't really found anything out about it. So Graham and I, we both contacted Sega of America, and he contacted Sega of Europe, and neither of them really had any idea what we were talking about. The guy I spoke to said, you know, I didn't hear anything about any of our developers being kidnapped. So I it was kind of funny, but yeah. So it really doesn't seem like they have any idea what's going on about this. I also emailed Small Japanese Soldier. I haven't got anything back from them either. So I think that this could just be a fake video or something. I'm not really sure. It almost seems too good to be just a fake video, though.
Yeah, it does seem a bit weird to be fake.
Yeah, I know. What do you think, Graham?
I'm not sure. My guy basically said that he just knew nothing about this, so I don't know if maybe he's too low down. He was the PR guy, but I don't know. He just didn't seem to know anything about the video at all.
Hmm, okay.
So maybe there, I don't know, maybe there's some section in Sega that like kind of keep it low down or something.
Yeah. Okay.
But in the video, they've got like the actual Small Japanese Soldier logo and stuff in the background, and it says SJS in the corner and stuff.
Right.
So it sort of seems a bit weird that if someone's been faking it, they're using all the logos and stuff, and I don't know, just.
And that's such a random company. You know, it's just a very small marketing firm in England. Well, I mean.
You think it's for something else?
It could be, but I don't understand what's the point about using a Sega developer in the video. I don't know.
No, that is kind of.
It seemed like
they're trying to torture him for information on the game, basically.
Yeah, that's what the whole thing was. They were trying to get him to talk about this video game that he was developing, and he wouldn't talk. And they said that there was going to be, or you know, it kind of alluded that there was going to be some information being released in April. And it could be just be that they weren't ready to release some information, and maybe it'll come later on or something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep our eyes out, and we'll see if anything comes of that. But that's the newsstand. So we found out about some of the games that Sega's going to be developing and coming out with later this year and early next year. So some exciting stuff going on in the world of Sega right now. Next up, we're gonna skip the water cooler this week. We're gonna go right into to fact or fiction. Graham, I think it's your turn to throw some fact or fiction questions at me and Nathan this week.
Oh boy.
Okay, mine's sort of a little different to what Chris was last week. Mine's sort of got like a theme behind it.
Okay.
And it's sort of like computer games related to films and other forms of media and stuff.
Ah, okay. Licensed games then? Right.
No, not like that. It's different.
Okay.
Different to that. You'll see. There's sort of like a running theme behind them all. But
okay. And let me say real quick. The fact or fiction, it's basically just a short bit where we do where we ask each other just different. We say different statements, and whoever's not asking or whoever is asking the questions doesn't answer. Of course, the other two guys, we will either say fact or fiction at the end of the segment. Graham will tell us our answers, and you can also play along at home or, you know, wherever you're at and see how you do. So, Graham, go ahead, bud.
Okay, right. Do you want me to run through all the questions first or just run through one and then tell you if it's right or
wrong? No. We'll go through them all and then at the end you can see them.
Okay. Right. In the awesome Jackie Chan movie, Police Story 3 Super
Cop. Oh, my God. Okay.
Jackie goes undercover to infiltrate a drug cartel, and when he's being introduced to the drug lord, he's made to wait while the drug lord finishes playing a game on the Mega Drive. Is that true or false?
Oh, jeez.
So the drug lord makes him wait while he finishes playing on his computer game.
I don't know. I don't know if I've even seen this movie.
I'll say false.
Okay, then I'm going to say true.
Okay.
I'll go to the next one. In Dead Man on Campus, at one point the guys chill out in their friend's room and play on the Sega Saturn. True or false?
I've not seen this either.
I have seen this movie, and that's true.
Okay, well then I'm going to go with Chris and say true also.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. In Rumble in the Bronx, Jackie Chan gives a disabled kid his Game Gear.
That seems true.
True. Graham, you're asking some crazy-ass questions.
Okay. Okay, this one's slightly different, don't worry. Okay, in Metropolis Street Race on the Dreamcast, the game features some made-up radio stations. And on the radio stations, they have lots of songs and stuff. But they also have adverts between some of the songs.
Okay.
Some of the adverts featured are for real-life products. Is that true or false?
That's true.
True.
Okay.
The only reason why I'm saying true is just because of the fact that I knew how much time they put into the background and just the environment and making, realistic cities. So I would assume that they would probably do something similar to something as, so little as a radio station.
Whatever.
So
I'm just going with Chris because I've not played this game.
You never played Metropolis Street Race?
No, not really. I'm not big on racing games.
He's Asian.
Well.
Okay. You guys probably won't know about this show.
You mean like the other four questions you've asked?
Okay, in the UK, there's a kids' show called News Round, which is basically a show that shows sort of news for kids.
Well, yeah, I love that show. I love it.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. In the early opening sequence, they've updated the sequence a little while ago, but in one of the original opening sequences, they used to use various clips from random news stories they used to have. One of the clips showed Echo the Dolphin on the Mega Drive. True or false?
Oh my God. Your questions suck, Graham.
I'm going to say true just the fact that you have to be a complete psychopath to make something as crazy as this up.
I'm going to say true also, so if Chris gets it wrong, we both get it wrong.
Okay, fair enough.
Jeez, Graham. I'm going to have to say a big knock a damn it to this.
That's it, yeah?
Okay, alright, that's our final answer.
I do have another one if you want it.
Go for it, we might as well. It's probably going to be
You want another one? Sure. Actually, no, I won't do have one because I'm not sure on the answer.
Okay, you can save on that one. Alright, tell us how we did.
Okay, the first question about Police Story 3 Super Cop. It's true, Jackie Chan is made to wait while the guy plays on the Mega Drive.
Okay. I can't remember if I got that one, if I said true or false.
You said true, he said false.
Okay, one to nothing, Chris.
What? Damn it.
Okay, in Dead Man on Campus, they do play on the Sega Saturn. That's true.
And Nathan, you said true on that also, because you're copying me. I'm 2 for 2 right now, shooting 4,000.
In Rumble in the Bronx, Jackie Chan does give his Game Gear, so that's true as well.
3 for 3?
Yeah, I knew that one. That was the only one I knew.
Okay. In Metropolis Street Racer, they do have real adverts.
Yeah.
If you want a couple, there's one for Tango, which is a drink. I don't know if you guys have it in America.
We have Tang.
Okay, it's probably something different. Yeah. This is Tango. Yeah, they have that in the UK. Fairly big, I guess. And they also had an advert for Planet Perfecto, which is a dance sort of group, and there's for a particular song, Bullet in the Gun, which is sort of big at the time when Metropolis Street Racer was released.
Yeah.
That's just a couple of adverts off the top of my head I can mention. At the start of News Rounds, they do show Echo the Dolphin on the Mega Drive, so that's true as well.
Oh, boy.
I got them all right. And Graham, did you realize in making this that every single one of your questions were true?
Yeah.
I don't think you've spent very much time putting this together.
Hey, I spent like...
hours. No, good job suck. At creating some of the most vaguely and difficult questions you could ever ask, and I have no idea how I got every single one of them correct, but
dumb luck.
I did. Yeah,
it's because you know, Chris. It's in the back of your mind, you know.
I guess
stuff.
So. Yeah, that's right. I have some kind of sixth sense where I can find random trivia and know the answers. I guess. So
he's just pissed because he doesn't know.
What? They were true false questions. He had a 50-50 chance on every single one.
And obviously, I did better than you, so shut the hell up.
Screw you.
This is not a test of the emergency broadcast system. It's Chris. I just want to say that we do know that I did not get the first one correct. Even though I was very excited, I admit that I did not get it correct. And we'll take better care to make sure that we know which ones we got right and which ones we got wrong in the future. So just want to apologize for that, and I now return you to your regularly scheduled Nerdcast.
Okay, for the flashback this week, we've been playing Streets of Rage.
Woo!
On the Mega Drive version, or Genesis, whatever.
It's called the Genesis.
It's called
wait,
the
wait, I thought it was on the PC. I was just playing it. Wait, what?
Wait,
I'm
what?
Just kidding.
Shut up. God damn it. See, you've just ruined the whole segment there.
Way to go.
Okay, carrying on.
Oh,
yeah, as you said, the game was originally released on like the Genesis. It's called Bare Knuckle in Japan, but Streets of Rage in all the other regions.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, they did actually port it across to the Game Gear and the Master System. But in the Game Gear version, I know that they cut out the character of Adam, so you could only play as Axel and Blaze. But then again, they're the two best characters. So
isn't Adam the black guy too?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. Okay, anyway. Yeah, the game was recently released on the Virtual Console earlier this year. Well, mm-hmm. not that recent, actually. It's February the 19th. But also, the game featured a two-player cooperative mode, which the rival Final Fight on the SNES did not at the time.
Right,
yeah. The Super Nintendo version of Final Fight sucked.
And from what I read and, you know, just growing up and all that stuff, Sega pretty much made Streets of Rage to compete against Final Fight. Isn't that correct?
Is that true? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so...
I'd personally say Streets of Rage is the better game, anyway.
I think so, too. What really amazed me after playing it throughout the week is how well it stands up to time. I think it aged really well. A lot of these classic games that you'll go back and play, you'll realize just how crappy they were. But Streets of Rage is actually still pretty fun to this day, and I think that is really just a testament to how great the games were that Sega was making back in the early 90s. What do you guys think?
Yeah, definitely. I totally enjoy playing. I actually completed it again. I played it through twice, actually. I did find it a little bit easier than I used to for some reason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I still enjoyed every second I played mm-hmm. of it. So.
Yeah, I really like Streets of Rage. I think Streets of Rage 2 is the best in the series by far, but mm-hmm. Streets of Rage 1 is pretty good. Like, my favorite stage in that game is the elevator stage, just because you can throw everybody off it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What's your tactic in playing the game? I use, like, the hit-and-run tactic. I, like, try to go in and get a few hits in and run away.
Oh, no. I run in, grab them, and knee them a few times and throw them.
Yeah, or the flying knee is also really good, too. Just jump in and just throw flying knees everywhere.
So you play as Axel?
Yeah, I do. I like Axel.
Yeah, I play as Axel, too. My brother always plays as Blaze.
I completed it with Axel and Adam when I played mm-hmm. it. And Adam's really good, though, because he's got long-range kicks when he does a flying kick thing. So,
yep.
The one thing that I did like about I love about the game is the fact that the three characters are actually pretty different.
Yeah,
different fighting styles mm-hmm. and stuff.
That's a good point, and that's what is kind of funny, because some of those games back in those days, they'd have multiple characters, but I don't think that they were diverse enough to really, you know,
like Double Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't do enough to change up the fact that, you know, that there were two different people. They would just have the same fighting styles, similar to Ken and Ryu in Street Fighter 2. But I don't think anyone will complain about that. I think that's maybe the exception to the rule when you have those two, because just they're such good characters. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
What are you talking about now?
I'm just saying that Street Fighter 2 is okay to have two characters with the same fighting styles, just because of the fact...
Ryu and Ken are different, though. They have different strengths and weaknesses now, especially in, like, Street Fighter 3.
I'm talking about back in the old days.
You can't even count Street Fighter 2 so much as just Street Fighter 1, where they were just... Ken was there as the second player, or whatever the hell it was.
I don't think anyone ever really played Street Fighter 1. It's always just Street Fighter 2 and on. I played it a long time ago.
Yeah, wasn't that good as well.
Yeah. Gosh, we're so off topic now. But
hell yeah.
We have like a severe cases of ADD all in each and every one of us. So, but yeah, Streets of Rage was definitely a great game. Still holds up today. So if you haven't played it, I would definitely suggest that you go out and take a look at it, because there's you know, it's just a really great game. And, you know, I don't know, is it on any compilation disc that Sega's put out in the last few years on any of the newer systems? Aside from the virtual console, can you pick it up on like
was it on the PSP's?
It was in the Japanese Sonic Gems collection, it was removed for the US release, which sucked.
Why would they do
that? Because of the rating issue, I think. Sure that's why. Sucks though. Yeah, all three Streets of Rage games were on the Sonic Gems collection. It's really sad that we didn't get it.
Jeez. What was Streets of Rage rated at then? Was it like a teen or something?
I don't know. What is it rated now on the Virtual Console?
I'm not sure. But, I mean, does it feature any blood or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. It's just...
It doesn't even have an age rating over here.
It's just consistent violence, I guess. I don't know. Somebody... What's going on over there?
Oh, my wife just came in real quick.
Okay. Hold on. Let me see if it's on the ESRB website. Well, Streets of Rage on the Wii is rated E10+.
Okay, that's what it was.
What the hell? Streets of Rage 2 for the Wii, which I guess is that out yet on the Virtual Console?
No, I don't think so.
It's rated everyone. What the heck? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But okay. Yeah.
Oh well.
You do have those women walking around in lingerie at one point.
That could be what it was.
With the whips, you know.
No, they're just. Streets of Rage is rated E10+ for violence, and Streets of Rage 2 is rated E for animated violence. So that doesn't seem very consistent.
Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, another thing to mention about this series is the music was really awesome. Yuzo Koshiro, he composed the music for like all three games in the style of like European electronic, and it was pretty badass. Like the soundtracks are really awesome. I think Streets of Rage 2 has one of the more memorable soundtracks from the 16-bit era.
Yeah.
Well done.
Streets of Rage 2 is better, but I haven't played Streets of Rage 3 yet.
Yeah, Streets of Rage 2 is better.
Okay. So, all right, that's the flashback. I think we've talked quite a bit about Streets of Rage. We all had fun playing it, and I think we can all agree that we definitely still recommend this game. So get it where you can get it, and just try to get it and play it, because it's a fun game.
If you haven't played it, you're a bad person.
Yes, and you're probably going to go to hell.
Just like we are after this.
Yes. Now we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been playing this week. And Graham and I can tell you right now that we've been playing a heavy dose of Halo 3 beta.
We have.
Graham, I know that you're probably the most excited person I've ever met about participating in a beta. So tell us a little bit about the game and you're liking so much about it.
What do you want me to say about it?
I want you to tell us what the hell the game's about, man.
Everyone knows what it's about.
Okay.
It's Halo.
Jesus Christ. What does Halo 3 feature that Halo 2 does not? How about you tell us that?
Okay.
Since I have to walk you through this. Amateurs.
Yeah, I don't know what people like. Okay, basically, the first thing you'll probably notice is that they've got loads of different weapons in the game. They brought back the big assault rifle that I had in the first Halo game, which I'm so happy about, because that battle rifle just sucked. I really hated the battle rifle from Halo 2. They've added like loads of cool bigger guns now. They've got like a huge machine gun, like some sort of rocket launcher type thing. Not like a normal rocket launcher they have. It's a different one that sort of fires... it's sort of like a cross between the rocket launcher and the brute shot thing.
Yeah.
They fire sort of little missile things, but yeah. They've also got other dual-wielding weapons that you have. There's one called a Spiker, which it's basically like the SMGs, but I think it's more powerful. Every time I've used it, I managed to take people down a lot quicker.
Yeah.
They've got new vehicles in it. On the beta, they've got, the Mongoose? They've got a little... It's like a two-man vehicle.
Right, it's basically a four-wheeler ATV, and one of the guys who's riding on it can jump on the back, and he can shoot with it whatever weapon he has equipped. So
yeah, and really fun. It's great for carrying like bomb carriers or flank carriers and stuff.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool. They're showing off three new levels in the beta testing. They've got one which is my favorite called Valhalla, which is like a really big open map with two bases, one at each end, and it looks sort of like the scenery from the original Halo game. If you can imagine the first time you land on Halo, the scenery is all just like that.
It's really nice.
And that is a really good level for bomb the base and capture the flag and stuff. And that just in general, that level is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
They've also got they've got a snow level, which is like a sort of big open snowy level with these bases that are underground. I like these different tunnel sections and stuff.
I actually really don't like that level for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
What
are your reasons? Yeah.
Do what? Okay, I'll tell you.
Go for it.
At first, I thought the snow looks very unrealistic. I thought we were playing on white sand. I literally thought it was sand.
Really?
At first, yeah. No. But what I really don't like about it is when you're engaging like an enemy, you're looking around and shooting at him, and then you're also moving. But there's so many like little holes and like cliffs on it that you'll if you're backing up and you're not really looking where you're going, you fall. And you know you're subjected to a lot of grenades being thrown at you, or you're almost killing a guy, and right before you get the kill, you'll fall down a cliff and fall into like a little cave or something, and you don't get the kill or whatnot. But that happened to me several times, and it was really frustrating.
Maybe you just suck.
That probably has a lot to do with it too. But
yeah. There's one thing that I hate on that level is in one of the underground bits. There's all this blue lighting. So even if you're on the red team, you suddenly look blue.
Yeah, you're right.
It's the most confusing thing ever.
Yeah, it is.
You don't know what's going on. You suddenly get shot. You're like, you're on my team. Oh, no. No, you're not, actually. Oh.
That's a good point, because there is. It does. There's in the bases, it casts a blue. The lighting is kind of a bluish tint. So like Graham said, it makes all the characters look blue. So
yeah.
It's kind of tough. But
they've also got one other level, which is... It's sort of like one of the levels in Halo 2. I can't remember the name of it. It's the one with the big wheel on it. It's like a sort of big...
yeah, I know what you're talking about. I forget
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can never remember my Halo levels.
No, neither can I. But this one's like basically... It's sort of like a sort of dusty setting. It's like an old ruined base, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which has got like holes in the walls and stuff. And you've got like one base, and you've got like a sort of beach setting where you sort of run up the hill, and you've got to... basically, they mainly have like capture the flag and bomb the base in it and stuff.
Right.
And it's a pretty fun level. It's pretty well designed, but I'd still say Valhalla's my favourite one out of all three. They've only got three on the beta testing right now.
Okay. Yeah, very great game, though. So are you excited for the full game when it comes out in September?
Oh, God, yes, I am, yeah. Now they've actually got the decent weapons in it. Because one thing I hate about Halo 2 are the weapon selection.
Oh, like, really?
I just think that battle rifle is just the most pathetic weapon. I know some people could really good at it; they could get headshots every time and stuff. But I don't know. I never could.
Do you like the battle rifle in in Halo 3?
They've made it worse. I don't understand. They've made it worse somehow. So I don't like it at all.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
That is the one weapon I won't use because it's just so crap.
Okay. All right. So that's the main game we've been playing. Anything else you got going on, Graham?
Yeah. One game I got a few weeks ago was Spider-Man 3 for the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
And this game got some really bad reviews, but
yeah,
personally, I enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's good.
You like anything.
I was a fan of Spider-Man 2 on the Xbox myself, anyway.
Well, you've been an overall general Spider-Man video game fan, though, isn't that right? I mean, I know that you've kind of liked that entire series.
Yeah, although I didn't like the first Spider-Man movie game, personally. That I found really boring.
Okay.
The thing I like about Spider-Man 2 and 3 is the fact that you can swing through the entire city, and it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the whole swinging thing.
Did you play Ultimate Spider-Man?
Did you say you like to go swinging?
No, I never played that one. That's right. Absolutely.
Okay, so you swing... I won't go into that anymore.
I go swinging all over the city.
Yeah.
That's right. on the Wii, it's a lot of fun though, because the controls, because like you actually use the remote and the nunchuck as your different arms for the swinging.
Uh huh.
So you can actually swing with the two arms, whereas on like the Xbox and stuff, you just tap the button and he'll just swing randomly, basically. So you can actually get some really accurate, really good, fast swinging going on the Wii.
Is it pretty accurate?
It is pretty accurate, actually. When you first start playing it, you'll be like, "What the fuck? You won't be able to do it at all."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of tricky when you first start, but after about 10 minutes, I was like pretty much mastering it, and you got all these extra cool moves and stuff in the game over like Spider-Man 2, which you can do, and the animation is so much better. Like just the way Spider-Man goes around walls and stuff. Like he also jumps over cars. If you're running at a car, he'll suddenly slide over it and stuff, which never used to happen in Spider-Man 2. The Wii version is different to the Xbox version though, and I hear the Xbox version is actually much better. There's a lot more to do and stuff.
Oh, is that right?
Still, what I've played on the Wii, I enjoyed it. I've completed the main storyline. I've got loads of stuff to find as well. And I've got to they've got loads of gangs and stuff that you take on, and I've still got to kill all them off. But yeah, so far it's pretty good.
Hmm. Okay.
And one other game I've been playing. This is probably one of the most controversial things if any Sega fan will actually hear on this.
I think I know what you're going to say.
I've been playing. Yeah, Nathan knows about this as well. But basically, I've been playing Sonic Heroes. I got it the other day, and it's fast become one of my favourite Sonic games. Oh my
God. Is that right? Wow.
Absolutely.
Going out on a limb.
Oh God, I do not see what is wrong with this game at all. I cannot see why it got so badly slated. It's not the best Sonic game, but it is good, I think.
I'm going to have to pick it up because for some reason or another, I just totally skipped that game and I've never played it. But Graham,
now
that...
missing much.
Well, I've wanted to get it just in the past, and I've almost bought it several times, but for some reason or another, I just never have. But now after you said that, Graham, I think I may have to.
The thing about the game is it's got possibly some of the best graphics I've ever seen in any Sonic game. The levels are so well designed. Mm-hmm. The levels look amazing in the game. Yeah, you shut up, Nathan. The people were saying that the controls and stuff are really awkward. I find the controls perfect. I can't see what's wrong with them at all. I actually enjoy using the different characters and stuff. So also, you've got the different teams, and each different team has a sort of their own storyline and stuff.
Yeah, well,
so
tell us what it's about, because I'm actually interested in hearing a little bit about it. What's the premise of the game?
You've got how many teams you got? You've got four different teams. You've got Team Sonic, Team Rose, Team Chaotix, and Team Dark.
Okay.
Team Sonic is Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails, obviously. Team Dark is one of the robots, Dr. Robotnik's robots. I can't remember which one it is. Anyway, and it's got Rose and Shadow. And then you've got Team Rose, which has got Big the Cat, Amy, and some sort of rabbit thing. I can't remember the name.
Cream the Rabbit.
That's the one, yeah. Big Sonic fan over there. And you've got Team Chaotix, which has got three guys I've never seen before.
Oh, they're from Knuckles Chaotix on the 32X.
Which I've never played, so great. Okay, cool. yeah, and basically each team has got sort of got their own storyline, but they follow the same levels and stuff. And the storyline, to be honest, the storyline isn't that amazing. It's basically each team's, the Team Dark and Team Sonic, they basically after Dr. Robotnik to try and stop him from whatever he's doing.
Of course, Team just Rose like always.
Team Rose are trying to find Big the Cat's frog and some sort of KO thing.
Okay.
And Team Chaotix, you've got to find different things on each level. There's like the first level, you had to find 10 different little seashell things.
Yeah, and their levels are terrible.
They all follow the same sort of level, so each level is pretty much the same. However, they're also slightly different as well. You go different routes and stuff, and you might end at a different part of the level and stuff like that. And but the one thing I love about the levels is the fact that there's lots of different routes within it. Like how the original Sonic games used to be, like you used to have loads of different routes you like, but on like the 2D games you could only really go up or down. With this, you can sort of go, you got left and right, up and down,
yeah,
everywhere basically.
No, I hear you.
So when you're going along, you'll sort of see the path split up in like three or four different directions, and you can choose which way you want to go. And normally the different paths are catered for each different character, because in each team you've only got three characters, but you've got each one has a set power, like skill basically. So like Sonic is a fast guy, Tails can fly, and Knuckles is like strong and powerful. Mm-hmm. So if you take a power route, right, so you'll have to mainly play as Knuckles, and you basically you'll be more fighting, more breaking blocks and stuff, trying to get through that little section. Or if it's a flying bit, then you'll be jumping more, you'll be trying to fly over gaps more and stuff, and the enemies will be higher up, so you have to attack the enemies in the air. And Team Sonic will always be like a really fast route to go, basically. And just the way the levels play out, I just love it so much. There's one level in particular I really enjoyed, which is a casino level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you guys have played Sonic 2, obviously.
Yeah.
If you remember the casino night zone.
Yes. Very, very cool. Very, very good level.
Yeah, this level reminded me so much of that. When you like go on the pinball machines and stuff, and like, but basically the whole level is like being on a giant pinball machine. And
I hated that level.
I just loved it so much.
I hated that level
so
much.
Good.
It was so confusing and gaudy. And
I think that's why I liked it so much. It's so crazy. So much was happening at the time. It's just madness. Brilliant.
The game is so bad.
Okay, what don't you like
about
it?
It's not a good Sonic game because you're stuck with two other characters and you're constantly having to switch to overcome obstacles placed in front of you, and it totally breaks the flow of the game. And
It's yeah, it just makes it a lot slower.
This game plays faster than Sonic Adventure 2 and Sonic 06.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
The problem. So you okay? You're telling me the Tails, Robotnik, Knuckles, and Rose levels.
I'm not counting those levels.
Well, they're part of the game. They're essentially part of the game. You have to play those levels to complete the game. Whereas in this, you're just running through...
Yeah, but you don't have... You, at least in Sonic Adventure 2, you get full stages where you have nothing but Sonic, and you can run through the whole thing fast. In this one, every single stage is chopped up into segments of speed and then flying and then whatever the hell else. And it's really, really annoying, and I just... I hate having to switch back and forth. It's stupid because whenever you see something coming up, you have to switch, and a lot of times I'll end up switching to the wrong person. And then there's, like, the enemies, which are really, really bad, and... Oh, the enemies were terribly designed and really, really ugly and not fun at all to fight. Like, you'd have to do different things and switch to different people to overcome, like, kill different enemies. It was just...
See, that's what I liked. I think that's what I like about it. The action is really good fun.
No, it was terrible. I hated pretty much everything about that game.
The thing that I never liked about Sonic Adventure and the Sonic 06 and stuff was the fact that when you're Sonic, the fighting was really boring. You just literally tap A all the time. Away.
Yeah, but that was the point. Why should you have to fight anything? That was the entire point of the original Sonic the Hedgehog concept, was to avoid fighting enemies. You can just jump on them or roll through them. That was all he had to do. And I think the homing attack that they implemented in Sonic Adventure and that they've continued to use is the best possible way to deal with enemies as far as Sonic goes.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, though.
However, I will say that this game would be better if it just had, like, Sonic and Shadow in it, where you literally just run through the levels. I will admit that it could be better like that.
Well, then it wouldn't be Sonic Heroes, because then you wouldn't be stuck with your dumb other co-hero.
Ooh.
Shut up. Basically, I'm saying that if Sega ever make another Sonic game, like a 3D Sonic game, I'd want them to make the levels like they are in this, but with just with Sonic, maybe Shadow.
Possibly. I think the art style, the art direction was decent, at least in the first few levels, but then the level design itself falls off pretty badly, especially towards the end of the game.
Well, I haven't completed the game yet. I've played most of Sonic's, most of Team Dark's, and a little bits of the others. And, so far, I love it. I think the levels are
I really
amazing.
Hated how you had to beat each level 4 times also. Just to get... Because then after you beat the game with all 4 teams, then you have to do the final thing. But it's just such a pain in the ass because it's so tedious.
The levels are different with each team.
They're only barely different. And the differences they make, like, especially with Team Chaotix, where you have to do horrible fetch quests. It was just like... I hated searching for stuff. It was like I wanted to kill myself when I couldn't find, like, one of the stupid flowers or something.
Is it backwards compatible with the Xbox 360? The Xbox version?
Actually, you know? I don't know. If you have
Which
a
version
Wii,
do you have, Graham?
If you have a Wii, you can just play it on
GameCube
the game.
Okay, you have a GameCube.
Yeah,
okay.
I've got the GameCube version, just slapped it.
Yeah, I have to check on that. So how would you rank this game in the overall, you know, Sonic, you know, list?
God. I said something to Nathan that he got really angry at me about, but I prefer this to Sonic and the Secret Rings.
Really? Okay. Well, I can't really...
Sonic and the Secret Rings really annoyed me towards the end of it. I just got so frustrated.
I don't know, I can kind of understand that, because Secret Rings was pretty different. But as, I don't know, as far as Heroes goes, I would say it was less fun than Sonic 2006, and I hated 2006.
Really? Okay.
Because at least in 2006, you're not stuck with Tails and Knuckles and all the other stupid, annoying... characters following you around, and did I mention that they talk constantly throughout the levels? You can't shut them up, and it's
they don't talk constantly.
It's really annoying.
And, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to go pick up the game tomorrow, and I'm going to have to see. So next week on the Nerdcast, I'll be able to talk about it. Graham, you've had too much time to talk about what you've been playing because you've been stealing the spotlight. But next up, though, I want to tell you what I'm playing because I have a really great game. I think it's probably one of the most underrated games on the Xbox, and I think a lot of people didn't play it and didn't give it a really fair chance. It's Call of Cthulhu. You know, like I said, for the Xbox, it's basically...
Cthulhu?
Cthulhu or Thulu, whatever.
Yeah, how do you pronounce it?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Spell it.
I think it's Cthulhu.
It's like C-T-H-U-L-H-U. Cthulhu. That's it sounds great to me.
Yeah, Lovecraft.
Yeah, it's based on an H.P. Lovecraft book, who's a really popular and classic horror writer. But it's basically about, it's based in like the early 1900s, like around 1920, and you're a detective, and you are called to go into this, like a coastal town, where these people are kind of, they're kind of locked away from society, and apparently they've been inbreeding with each other, and they're just really weird looking, kind of really almost monstrous looking. And there's a guy who came in to try to open up a grocery store, and he went missing. And so you're kind of trying to figure out what happened to him, and none of the people are wanting to help you out. And it just seems really weird and eerie. But it revolves a lot of like witchcraft and kind of satanic things that are happening with these people. They have a very strange religion called the Church of Dagon is what it's called. And there's just a lot of weird stuff going on. It's a first person, I want to say shooter, but there's really not a whole lot of shooting going on, at least in the first third of the game, which I'm currently on. And you're basically just going around following clues and trying to discover this mystery, what's going on. You have to go from, you know, place to place, unlocking things and just doing various things to try to advance the storyline. It's really fun, just really creepy, and they do some really cool stuff with it, because throughout the game, when you get hurt, each piece of your body can get hurt. Like, you can break an arm, or your chest can get cut, your legs can break, and your face can get hurt, and you actually have to go into the menu screen and heal, or, you know, put different kinds of medicine to whichever part of your body, and like if you have, you can put a splint on your arm and things like that. It's kind of neat, and they do some cool stuff. And it's also has a mixture of, what was that early GameCube game where it had like a lot of the weird odd, like video effects in it? Eternal Darkness. Yeah, it has a little bit of that in it, to where if you're the main character sees like any kind of like really creepy scenes, then he can start hallucinating, and if he does it too much, and then he'll start breathing real fast, and the controller will start shaking and vibrating. You can hear his heartbeat, and then eventually he can commit suicide if he just goes too crazy. Huh. So it's really cool. There's not a whole lot of fighting going on with it, and I kind of like that. It's a change of pace in a lot of the games I've played. So, you know, I'm still early on into the game, but I'll be able to talk a little bit more about it later. But I'm having a blast with it now, and I feel bad that I never really played it when it first came out, but it's really a great game, so I definitely suggest you guys play it. Like,
when you, like, break an arm or something, can you not use that arm anymore?
Well, if you get hurt, well, you don't really use your arms so much. Like, there's no, like, guns yet. I mean, there are later on in the game.
Okay.
But if you break your leg, you'll start walking a lot slower, or you'll start, like, walking with kind of a limp. And you have to fix yourself before you can walk faster. So it does affect gameplay also. And so it's kind
of
neat.
Okay, so sort of a bit like Resident Evil and stuff then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, yeah.
So, yep, so if you hadn't played it, but you see it in GameStop, definitely give it, you know, a try. It's like less than $10. So if, you know, and it's compatible with Xbox 360 as well. So you guys who traded in your Xboxes or sold them off, you have no excuse now. You have to get the game. So that's pretty much what I've been playing. Nathan, you've been playing anything?
Actually, not really. Like, I'm on my summer vacation right now, at least for another week before I have summer school starting up. And okay. I've just been staying at home and watching South Park.
You're such a loser.
hey, so screw you. I've been playing Puzzle Quest on the PSP, like in my spare time.
There you go, PSP. That's a good guy.
What about Pokemon?
Yeah, I've been playing some Pokemon too, on and off, not like hardcore anymore. I beat the game, so now it's just like more laid back.
Have you caught them all?
No, I have not caught them all.
Okay, well that's great. Hopefully, one day you'll be able to catch them all and become the ultimate Pokemon battler, whatever you guys call yourselves.
A Pokemon master.
There you go.
What, Nathan? Have you seen the South Park with Chim Pokemon?
Yes, I saw that one.
Okay, good. just bringing that up ever since the Pokemon talk and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. That about wraps up our show. I want to say one thing though before we leave. I want to thank some of the guys on our forums that are always coming up with some really great news tips for us, and they're making our site better by just contributing and linking to so many different news stories out there. There's Aki At Fruits of Her Womb, and Revenge of Joe Musashi. Those are pretty much the top three guys who are always feeding us some good stuff. So, guys, keep it up. We appreciate it. You definitely are contributing to the site in every way you can. And thank you, and please keep it up. And everyone else, you can do what they do. You can post threads in the forums. We'll post it up. We'll give you credit for it. Or you can send us tips by the link in our sidebar. You can do that. So just please keep tips coming, because we need it. We don't know everything that's going on out there. So keep it up. And thanks, guys. And we appreciate it. So that's about it. Have a nice week. And hope you don't die this week. So take it easy.
That's more good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I've been playing Call of Cthulhu. So I'm in a couple of those movies. So, all right, fellas. Take it easy. Have a great week. Later.